Probably start whenever you want, Matt.
All right. 6 o'clock, 6:01. November 10th, 2022, regular planning commission meeting. Commissioners present tonight are Matt Cochran, Elena Hughes, Colleen Thompson, Tina Carlson, John Dranth, and Shelley Price Gibson. We also have our land use planner, Lee Nellis, and town and planning commission clerk, Margaret Smith. All right.
So do you want me to let you know who's in the audience real quick?
Yes.
Mark Nelson, Jen Bach, and April.
Hey, April.
And Tessa.
Thanks.
So is that, so April, is that our zoning administrator that's there?
Yes.
Okay, so officially we have to say our zoning administrator, April O'Neill, is here as well. All right, so first item is approval of the agenda. Commissioners, is everyone set with that, or anything that needs changing? All right.
I second it. Colleen Thompson.
All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Lena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so next on the agenda is approving minutes for four different meetings. Can we do this in a lump sum, or should I go one by one, Peg?
You better go one by one.
Okay, so the first approval for minutes is from our September 8th regular meeting. Are there any substantial changes that need to be noted or made before we go forward?
I said, Peg, a couple minor corrections on that one. Did you get those, Peg?
Yes, I did, and I've incorporated them. So they'll show up in the approved version that gets posted on this website.
Okay, so I'll make an approval to pass the newly incorporated September 8th minutes.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
And he's aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Grant, aye.
Thank you. Okay. Next approval of minutes was a working meeting on September 22nd. I'm not quite sure which commissioners were present, but are there any corrections on that one?
No corrections, and I will make the motion to approve the work meeting of September 22nd minutes.
Okay, and I will second that. And only if you are at that meeting, please vote. Otherwise, hold back. So all in favor for the September 22nd minutes, Matt Cochran, aye.
John, go ahead. Tina Carlson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Is that the one I missed? I missed it, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Minutes number three. This was for the minutes for the October 13th regular planning commission meeting. Any changes, notes need to be made on those?
Yes, John made a correction that I made. He submitted a correction that I made.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to pass those as corrected, incorporated for October 13th.
You okay with that?
Yeah, John Brandt, second.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
And he's aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
All right, thank you. And then finally, we have the minutes for the October 25th working meeting. Working meeting. Again, I'm not sure which commissioners were there, but any changes that need to be made to that?
No changes. I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay.
If you are
there, please vote. Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Who seconded that? Was that Tina?
No, that was Colleen.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. That's half the things on the checklist, right? All right. You got all that, Peg?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is administrative procedures for the application process. So this month we found that we've been trying to hone, obviously, our administrative practices so they work, which is a difficult thing to do because we have the legalities of having the right notice for public hearings, which is 10 days, so on. So we have found by experience that 14 days, I think, is what we've said is not enough of an intake for our CUP or subdivision applications. And part of the problem that's come up is that invariably and inevitably, there's a lot of back and forth in the paperwork. If something's missing, then the zoning administrator must send it back to the person. The person's got to work to do it, to set it back and send it back and so on. And in that shuffle with weekends and so on, 14 days is not enough, we're finding, to move at the appropriate speed that we need to. So the question to the commission and to the zoning administrator tonight is, I guess I'm proposing from what I've heard, is what if we had a 21-day intake, is that enough of a buffer to cover these problems of back and forth and give us a little more time?
Can I just clarify something? This is Tina. So in the 14 days or 21 days, whichever we decide, there is the 10 days that is needed for the, is that right? 10 days before the hearing, correct?
Yes.
There was only 4 days of leeway with 14 days.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and also I wanted to include too that it's not only the 10-day public hearing notice, but for public hearings and so on, we have to use the snail mail to get letters to the adjacent landowners, and that, you know, that has its own timing as well.
So April would like to say something.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe address possible business days versus calendar days, because I think that's what's causing also a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. The expectations of the weekends and last minute applications. So I might be willing to do 14 business days. We can discuss that, but would like to indicate that it is business days, and to acknowledge that, like, weekends can be difficult at times.
Well, so April is just 14 business days. Is that applicable? Because now is the time really to set it in a way that works. If it's still...
I mean, especially for the larger, and we are getting a lot of CUP applications, which is taking a lot more time. And if there's a lot of back and forth, we could do 20 business days if that's.
Yeah. I would like to throw out a specific motion so we have something to discuss and alter. And unfortunately, I left the written wording at home, so I'm going to have to do it from memory. But in brief, I'd like to make it 21 days, which is a full 3 weeks, to get for some submittal, but then to also indicate that if the zoning administrator specifically requests any corrections, reformatting documents, or anything like that, those have to be in by some date, which I would like to propose as 15 days, which would then guarantee adequate time to review. And I think, you know, we want to make the wording very clear that that's only for corrections requested by the zoning administrator. It's not, well, here's the first half of it, and I'll get you the last part by 15 days, because I think that defeats the purpose. And I see Peg has her hand up. You know, to me, the point I want to make is that we want to be accommodating to citizens of the town, but we have volunteer commissioners, volunteer town council, part-time staff. And we need to recognize the reality that, especially the staff, they're entitled to days off, holidays. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've got personal business or be sick. And if they are rushed, the ultimate consequence is that things get approved that shouldn't get approved.
Yeah.
And the town suffers for years to follow. So I would want to be very generous. A lot of jurisdictions ask for a whole month before the meeting. So I think 21 days, three calendar weeks is a minimum of what's reasonable. But let me put that as a motion. I could clean up the wording later, but now we have a motion on the floor to discuss.
Peg.
Your motion succinctly, please.
Okay, so for all materials for subdivisions, plat amendments, and conditional use applications need to be submitted to the zoning administrator 21 days prior to the next scheduled planning commission meeting, period.
Okay.
If the zoning administrator specifically requests additional information, corrections, or reformatting of files, all these revised documents need to be to the zoning administrator 15 days before the date of the next planning meeting.
All right. Thank you, John. I'll second that motion. And now let's discuss. Peg, you have your hand up. Yeah.
I think the matter of days, I'd be happy to leave to April. However, I would like to emphasize business days. And the reason for that is simply when it comes to mailing out, I mean, one of the things that caused the problem last time was I got something that I couldn't mail out, and we had 2 weekend days where there's no mail going out, so that affects the public hearing notices. So I would suggest whatever number of days you pick, that you make them business days.
I agree. This is Colleen.
This is Elena. My only hesitation with business days is, does it get complicated with holidays? Like, are holidays excluded from that? And will there be confusion there? Like, should we pick a number of days in which there are just enough business days? Do you know what I mean? I feel like it is most straightforward to the applicant to just be able to count backwards by weeks rather than someone thought 4th of July wasn't included.
I feel like business days, there's not going to be many to affect that. Like, it's not, like, I'd rather have business days to make it clear the expectations of things are sent on Saturday. Saturday at 8 p.m., they shouldn't expect a response.
Yeah.
You know, and I constantly get requests. They send something 5 p.m. and then 8 a.m. the next morning, they're like, what's your answer? So, like,
that makes sense.
Yeah. I prefer business days.
Yeah. I'll do that. Actually, there's 10 or 12 federal holidays. Then we can argue about whether state holidays are included.
Yeah.
You know, if we want more. 21 calendar days, since our meetings are on Thursdays, would include 3 weekends. So that's essentially the same as 15 business days. Mm-hmm. But we could make it a full 28 days. There's no harm to the applicant as long as we're consistent in setting it plenty early. But yeah, I think Elena's got a good point. Almost every month that date is going to be moving around from a Wednesday to a Thursday, back to a Tuesday, depending on how you on the calendar with legal holidays. And then we'd have to go into defining legal holidays and business days. So why don't we just stay calendar days, but make it early enough? And also, we could put in a specific by 5 p.m. Yeah. So people don't try to game it by submitting something at midnight.
Yeah, but I think Peg and I were preferring to say business days to make it more concrete, so that the expectation's not on the weekend. Not to say we're not going to do work on the weekend, but
why don't we say by the Thursday, 28 days before the planning commission meeting?
Because you're still not covering the weekends. I think that you should go with business days, and I think that most cities would do that.
Most of our calendar days, like I say, because business days.
Okay, I'm going to cut in here. So this is for the administrative part of our planning commission. So this needs to be a decision made by April and Peg right now, and then we can move it forward. What works better?
Okay. Any comments?
What?
Do you have any comments to?
No, I've made my comment. I like business days.
Yeah, you prefer business days. Okay. Yeah.
5 p.m.
15. 15.
Are you sure that that's going to be enough to never get into a bind?
I mean, the only issue will be when there's complications and like an application isn't complete or there's constant going back and forth. That's not going to, I mean, stop. No. Even if it's another week, I don't think that's going to change that issue.
Well, I think it's one of those things too, this Colleen, we can always change it. I mean, if it doesn't, if it ends up not being enough time for you guys, you can always bring it back up and go for the extra days.
For a complete application and maybe minor issues, yes, I feel like that would be enough time.
So to clarify, it would be 15 business days to get it to you, and then does it stay?
As a full application. Yeah.
And then is it still 10 calendar days for the public hearing and the mail notice?
That's kind of included in that period of time
In that case, I think we need to, I think 15 is not enough, because what has caused us a problem on several occasions is that, yes, there's almost always this back and forth. Mm-hmm. A file doesn't open, the file's not readable. Fonts are too small to read, whatever. Those things take time. If we don't give enough time, we're going to get into trouble again. So I don't see any harm to make it. I think we do need to define a hard deadline where if every correction that April requests is not into her, we say it's off the table for this meeting. And because we do have to consider.
I think with the communication I can make with the applicants when they give me, you know, that if there's major issues, it may not be for the next month.
Yeah.
Well, and we're talking about a complete application needs to be in.
And a lot of times they're not.
I was going to say, how often is it complete on the first submittal?
No.
Okay, then I think we need to allow, since we have a hard 10 calendar days, 15 business days does not leave you enough time. I'm just laying off.
Do we have this makes it up to
20. Are we making a decision tonight? Do we have to make a decision tonight? I mean, Matt just said that Peg and April were the ones that were going to be able to, that they should be the ones to figure it out. So why can't we give them a little bit of time to figure out or, you know, like, Matt said, April's the one that does it. She should know.
I'm going to be very emphatic that I think under the circumstances, we need to make a decision tonight.
21 business days.
We need to make a decision.
I could go with 21 business days too.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to do 21 business days intake. And it doesn't need to be that complicated. We just need to make a decision.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how long do we allow for any resubmittals before we say it's got to go to the next month?
My deadline would be probably the 11 day mark. If it's not in by day 11 for the next day for Peg to do the mailings, then it won't be going to.
Okay, I'm a little stubborn on this, but I think if you allow to day 11, we're running the risk again of a repeat of the situation that we're currently facing, that it only leaves one day. If you're sick, if your email is down, that we're going to be having stuff getting set up for hearing without proper review. I think you need at least 5 days from the time that everything is complete and final to look at it, to think about it, to get any responses, to investigate anything that needs to be checked before you say it's complete. So I think we really need to draw a very firm,
I'm confused what you're saying.
Well, because as you say, almost never is something complete on that first trial.
So then may I interject here?
Yeah. Please.
So most jurisdictions that have full-time professional staffs have requirements that are longer than these. And I think you're putting a tremendous burden on April or whoever is serving as the zoning administrator, and to some extent on Peg or whoever is serving as the recording secretary if you try to push. I want to point out to you that a person who proposes a plat amendment or a subdivision and most types of CUPs is talking about a change in Boulder's environment that could last for decades. If it's a subdivision lot, it lasts forever. And to say that we have to rush when we're making a decision that lasts forever, I don't see it. I will also say that all of this is covered in the draft bylaws. And we are obviously informing what would be in the draft bylaws with this conversation. But I think that the draft bylaws, the way they came to you all, say that there's 20 days to file an application and 15 days to, and five more, making it 15, to get in whatever the zoning administrator requires for completion of the application. And you may remember that I sent you a checklist for the CUP applications, and I will work on the other checklist that'll make it a little easier for the zoning administrator to sit down with a prospective applicant and say, okay, we're going to go item one through whatever on the list, and you're going to initial what you submitted or what you didn't. And that way we have them understanding clearly what they did or did not do and what's required. As I wrote the 20 days, and John and I talked about this a little bit a few days ago, I was wondering if even 20 days is enough. And so I am going to say that I like 20 or 21 business days and 15 business days as the deadlines there. And it would be easy to throw the word business in as an adjective before days in the draft bylaws. And it's not hard to define business days. There's an official state list of holidays, and you can just refer to that, and there you are.
Well, I mean, I'm a proponent for the 20 business days because that's basically 4 weeks, right? Five business days in a week, and the 15. Mm-hmm. So that would be my proposal. Thank you, Lee.
Sure.
We feel like it might make sense to just, and then it's really clear what the date is, to just have the deadline be like almost the planning commission date before. So like if you want to apply for December, you apply by today, basically. And then it's a month, which is basically the same as 21 business days. And then there's no confusion about what the date is with holidays or anything. It's like, if you have it to April by the planning commission meeting beforehand, 4 weeks.
Are there planning commissions who work that way, Lee?
I don't know of anyone who works exactly that way, and I'll tell you why, which is because planning commissions change meeting dates from time to time. If you get a couple of new members who say, look, could we do this on Wednesday instead of Thursday? You know, I guess it ends up still being the month, but the way this is almost universally done is by a number of either calendar or business days with clarification of what's, whether it's business or calendar days. And I think we would be more clear if we stuck with that. And, you know, you get the odd question of like, well, if the planning commission didn't meet, does that deadline still apply if you make it the day of or the day after? So I think it will be simpler for everyone in the long run and more resilient to change if you just decide how many days you want and set that out clearly as 20 calendar, 20 business days or whatever.
Whatever makes sense.
Okay. The most important deadline in my mind is not that one, but the 15 days, or if you want to make it more, that the applicant has to respond to the zoning administrator's request for information, because that's when you really get a complete application, right? And you can't run that down to day 11. All sorts of things could happen that would end up compromising the review. Even 5 days is With a part-time zoning administrator, particularly 5 days is the minimum, I would say.
Okay. So
I could amend my motion to read the 20 business days for complete application and 15 business days for any supplemental information requested specifically by the zoning administrator.
Okay. And I just want to make sure, April, are you content with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it works, hopefully.
So I'll second that motion. Any last discussion? Okay. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Brandt, aye.
Okay, thank you. The administrative stuff is the hardest, by the way. Yeah. Scheduling. Okay. Next on the agenda, let's see. So I called a special meeting for November 16th in part for several reasons. One, we've just been addressing one of the issues, and we now have for that meeting the public hearing and discussion and vote on the Meadowlark subdivision on the table for Wednesday. That's next Wednesday, November 16th. And the other thing that we wanted to put in there, because Lee will actually be in town, is also a discussion on the housing steps in the future. And so since he'll be here in person, it's a chance for us to get together and discuss this in a timely manner right before the Attainable Housing conference, which is the next evening. So I appreciate all the commission's extra work in this. And I just wanted the public to know that this is what we're up to. So any comments from the commission on that before we move on? All right, thank you. Okay, so we're going to turn it over now to a discussion on the draft bylaws. So you're on the stage, Lee. I'm not sure how you want to go forth with this, but I'll put it in your hands.
Thanks, Matt, and everybody else. So we've just clarified a piece of the bylaws, and I will amend the draft that you received accordingly, so that it matches the motion that just passed. I don't want to spend a lot of time laboriously going through these bylaws. They're there for everyone to read. They are basically quite straightforward. I have one very specific question. And after I've posed that question to you, I would like to see if we can proceed by taking questions from the commission members. And for those of you who took a look at these, throw out some questions. John Grant and I had a conversation about this a few days ago, and he made some suggestions that I have incorporated in another draft, but I have not distributed that, partly in order to avoid confusion and partly because I thought that something might change, and it already has. We'll have another draft soon. And with that, I would like to pose the one question I have for the commission to think about. I don't think it's a question that has to be answered tonight, although it needs to be answered soon if we're going to move forward with these bylaws. And that is the question about training. Towns of Boulder size are exempt from the training requirements of Utah law. And yet, because we have volunteers and part-time staff, it strikes me that Boulder might need training more than to bigger communities. And so I would like to put, if you all agree, something in these bylaws about training. And there are different ways to do that. The typical way is used by Utah and many other states. I just did a training for a couple of New York Planning Commissions last week. The New York Planning Commission training requirement goes all the way down to the smallest town that exists. And so it would encompass Boulder, and it requires 6 hours of training a year. Other states have different details and different numbers of hours. The way that I've done it in some other places is to say that the commission would devote a certain number, perhaps three or four meetings a year, to training. And then it would be up to the commission members and their advisors to figure out whether you do training by video, whether you do training with someone who comes in person, how you do that. And in some ways, I like that better because it means the training is going to happen with everybody who's present in the room at a regularly scheduled meeting, a portion of which is devoted to training. What the community that I work with in New York does is they start those meetings an hour earlier before their regular business, and we do an hour and a half of training, and then they stand up and get the blood flowing and get back to work. And that seems to be awfully effective. And it also means that people are not getting their training by watching a generic video that may or may not apply at all to Boulder or any other particular community. So I think there's a couple of ways to do it, but I think we need to start with getting a commitment to the idea, however we do it. And then with any suggestions or thoughts that people have about how to do it. And I would then add that into the draft bylaws. And so if we could have, Matt, if you'll kind of keep things organized, have 10 or 15 minutes of discussion of the training idea, and then move on into answering questions about the bylaws as you got them in draft form. That sound good?
Great. Yeah, so we'll go to 6:45 on the training discussion and then switch gears. Commission. Well, let me throw in my two cents since I'm already talking. I think training would be valuable, much more valuable than video training, as you're saying, but to actually have someone like you even, or to arrive earlier, yeah, for a meeting, I think it would be really important to customized sort of training where we can, you know, ask for what we feel like we really need. Obviously, there's some stuff we don't know we need, but it sounds valuable. The question is, how much is, and I'll leave that open-ended.
This is Tina.
Commission.
I also agree that training is super important. I think that it would actually be helpful for the community at large. And so obviously, you know, people would be more aware of the process and what issues we would be dealing with. So I would say I'm gonna go for 3 to 4 meetings, and or, you know, depending on where we're at, it could be 4, it could be 3.
And yeah, sorry.
This is Elena. I have some thoughts. I really like the idea of having training. I feel like we come to Planning Commission with very different levels of experience. And as someone who came to it with almost none, I would love to be trained a bit. And I think just getting us all on the same page, because people have been on various other bodies and it kind of gets us all on the same page. A couple specific thoughts. I wonder, I feel like we have a decent amount of turnover on Planning Commission, like having new people. So that makes me wonder, will it start to get repetitive for the, you know, like if Matt's in his 5th year of his term, will he have seen the training that I'm seeing?
every year, or will it evolve, or how do we catch up the new people? That's a question that I have. Also, my personal preference would be to go later and not have the meeting start earlier, but that's just a detail.
Shelly's raised her hand.
Yeah, Shelly, go ahead.
Hey, trying to get it off mute. Hey, I worked at a training academy and I have over 700 hours of training. I agree with the training. I think it's an outline that you can make on training, and you have to be open to things that come up that recently happened to us about applications and how we hear them and if they really are complete before we hear them and things like that, that we could put in training. It's the same kind of thing. All we need is a checkoff list of where to find ordinances, how ordinance are bolder ones, how they compete. What I'm finding out, I'm the new one here, and I've been trying to figure this out and trying to ask people that have already worked it. And it's been hard because the ordinances, I didn't know they change all the time. I wanted a hard copy because I'm one that likes to make notes and find out they change all the time. So I've got to be more involved in the ordinances that are currently going on. And so that's been my personal experience, is finding out what's going on and where to find what ordinance they're talking about and how they documented when they changed. So that's my comment with this. I think training would be easy. Just have a checkoff list. And when somebody comes in, they hit those highlighted parts, and we can make it easy for them of coming in and just making them aware of things that we're dealing with as a small county. Thank you. Great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm following up on Tina's idea. I think quarterly sounds good. So one training session every 3 meetings or so. So you one for each quarter. Any other thoughts, Colleen, Tina, and or John?
I totally agree with training. I mean, I was somebody too that came in and had no idea really about what I'd gotten myself into, even though I thought I did. And the training, there's just so many basic things that we do on a regular basis that could be explained and have people, it'd be better, so much more understanding even from the beginning. And I agree with the quarterly. And I think it would be good to have it either before or after the meetings. Yeah.
Well, I certainly do advocate training. I think we tend to be pretty innovative and creative in how we've addressed issues, which has protected Boulder incredibly well. But if we are going to be acting at that, proposing ordinances at that level of detail, we certainly need training as much or more than the larger jurisdictions. So yes, definitely we need that. I think in terms of, Elena, you brought up a good point about cycling through. I think once we get the bylaws better codified, that and a couple page new member data sheet will help the new member come up to speed. And then as we cycle through the training, we can be dealing with the more current topics as they change, because every year there's going to be training on Utah legislature tends to give us new constraints that we have to work under, new challenges come up with time. So the training can be very contemporary. One thing we might want to consider is that if we want in-person training with a trader physically present here in Boulder, we may want to consider something like a all-day session as a special meeting, because to bring somebody here to Boulder for a one-hour training session is 3 hours of travel at least. It's even coming from Panguitch, someone from the Wasatch Front, it's a whole day of travel. So, and for Lee and Ellis, about 2 days of travel. So I just want to throw out that idea that I think we should target a certain number of hours of training as a minimum, that might consider doing it in a larger block for the, which we could decide year by year, depending on who we're inviting to come as a trainer.
Okay, is that everybody? I think it is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, you know, John, and just to speak to what you said is, I hear what you're saying, and both fortunately and unfortunately, we have the Zoom capacity now, so we don't need to import an actual trainer in the physical if we don't have to. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Yeah,
that's true. I want to point out that given the logistics of arranging training, and John might be right that there could be a time for a longer session. It doesn't hurt to talk to surrounding jurisdictions, whether it be Escalante, Garfield County, your neighbors over on the other side of the mountain, and, you know, Torrey. Almost all the trainings that I've done have been set up by multiple jurisdictions. And if there's any cost, that makes it easier to bear and share the cost. And it increases the number of people who are hearing the message. So what I would propose is that I write a new section into this draft bylaw that says that you will attempt to have quarterly training. We can't make it too specific because the details are going to vary all the time, right? But I think we need to have it in the bylaw. You know, my vision is that you probably do a procedural training at the first of every year when you also have the opportunity to amend the bylaws. And then throughout the rest of the year, sometime after the legislature has finally gone home, you might have to have a training on what the legislature did to you. And then other topics, you know, the planning commission I've been working with, commissions that I've been working with in New York are all in lakeside communities. And we spent, you know, a good long training session on urban hydrology and stormwater management and trying to get them to understand how that works and what they're seeing from the engineers when they see it, and maybe to enhance their capacity to ask some questions. And then we did a second one following up on that because it related on landscaping, you know, and what questions do you as a planning commission member ask about landscaping? So that's the type of session that I can envision you all having. And there are definitely people who can contribute coming from all sorts of different angles, but I'll put something in. I'm happy to hear that everybody is positive about this, and I'll put something in for you to look at in the next draft.
Thank you.
And then to move right along, like I said, I think that going through this one piece at a time would be laborious, but I'm perfectly happy to answer any questions that people had about what they read in the draft bylaws. And we'll see. Let's see what questions there might be before we do anything else.
So am I muted? Am I here? So on specifics for me, Lee, yeah, I mean, the main thing was the training, since you had left that as a question. But the question is, do we, quote, codify these or run with them? Or what's your advice on that? Because right now, I mean, to me, they're already a guiding document for the PC beyond extra training that we need. We have some procedure right now. How important is it to lock them in, so to speak?
That's a good question. I think there are different ways to play it that probably are equally good. I think that it will be easy to have a final draft by your December meeting. And at that meeting, you could move to formally adopt them. Alternatively, you could have a motion made by someone to say, hey, we want to adopt this document as guidelines, and we'll use it for, 6 months before we actually lock it in, so to speak. And then we can make whatever changes, in June, are indicated by our experience. The important thing, if you do that, of course, is to actually use them. Otherwise, you don't gain any experience that you can build from. I don't have a strong preference one way or the other. There are two things that you need to keep in mind. One is that the town ordinances say that the Planning Commission will adopt bylaws, and you never have. I don't think waiting 6 months to do that, if that's what you choose to do, is a problem. Two, the ordinances say that the bylaws are supposed to be sent to the council. And it's not, to me at least, not completely clear what is intended, whether the council would have to approve these the same way they would an ordinance, or whether that you would be transmitting them to the council more as an informational item. Either way, if you adopt them, you obviously have to send them on to the council to review and look at. I would do the same thing if you say, hey, we're going to use these as guidelines for 6 months, just so that the town council is included in the loop. I guess that my thought is to, unless there are really big and serious questions, to go with it in either form, either adopt it, because it's not that hard to change, or say, yeah, we'll use it as guidelines until June, and then see what we want to adopt. I think the important thing is to get started rather than exactly how you do it.
Right. My reading of the details was, I mean, from what I do know, is it seemed smooth, straightforward, and I'll be using, obviously, the public hearing one next week and follow that, see for experience. I think it's valuable to run with it for 6 months before adopting it. So if we do come up with changes, other comments by the commission on the details on, or questions about Lee's draft?
So if we did adopt it, this is Tina, then it would be, public, this is what we're following. Mm-hmm. Whether we want to follow it, or, and then if we find that it's actually not what we want to follow, it's fairly easy, as I understand from Lee, to actually change it. But if we're following something consistently, we'll know whether it's working or not, and certainly can make adjustments at that point, at some point. I mean, there's no time in which we have to specifically, is it a yearly thing that you do for bylaws, Lee?
The way that these bylaws are written is that you would review them at your first meeting of each year.
Yeah, I like that.
And it would be on the posted agenda, so that there was public notice that that was going to be part of what the Planning Commission talked about. And you could then make any adjustments that you feel are necessary or not. That doesn't prohibit you from changing them at other times of year. You can get it on the agenda and change it by motion. The one thing it says is that to change the bylaws, you have to have the vote of a full commission, a quorum of the full commission, not just a quorum of three at a meeting. Yeah. And I think the bylaws are important enough to add that extra little requirement for the approval of either the bylaws originally or the changes. But they're not hard to change, especially if the requirement is interpreted that you're sending on what you did to the council as a matter of notice rather than seeking council approval. And to my mind, waiting until June, setting a goal of we'll either adopt these or modify them and adopt them in June seems like a pretty reasonable way to proceed. And by then, you will have had enough business that you know what works and what doesn't.
Right. And again, my reading so far is, I mean, pretty much we're doing a lot of these, and this just establishes a certain consistency and good habit, as far as I can tell.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. And honestly, you know, a member of the public needs to be able to pick up a piece of paper and say, what procedures the Planning Commission follow? You guys all have an idea from experience, but if I am a person who might want to apply for a CUP, let's say, then I need a piece of paper like this that says, okay, here's how the hearing, here's how the application process would run. Here's how the hearing would run. Here's how I would be notified of the decision. And it isn't, there are a lot of parts of this that you're already doing to some extent or another. There are other things that are clarified, you know, like making sure that special meetings are not abused, but with appropriate exceptions, things like that. And then it's clear to the commission members. And I think this is especially valuable for a new commission member. When somebody is appointed, they can take a look at this and say, ah, this is what's going to happen, right? So, right. You know, I think that it will be easy to get you another draft. And I would like to, you know, have you put your agreement to use these as guidelines for 6 months on the agenda of the December meeting and adopt that at that time. And, you know, in June, whatever changes are indicated can be made.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Comments, John, Elena, or Colleen?
I have some thoughts about certain details, but are we going into the details now, or are we just doing general?
If you have questions, I think we should handle them now so I can reflect anything in the draft that needs to be changed.
A few things that came up for me. One of them is about giving applicants for CUPs, subdivisions, whatever, giving them the decision. It says the zoning administrator must give the decision 15 days after it's made. I wonder if it makes sense to speed that up since the decision is usually made at the meeting. And then because of all these long timelines we have, then it doesn't allow the applicant to then make it onto maybe the next meeting or the next town council meeting. If you wait 15 days, it just, there's a long time between meetings. And then there's a lot of procedural things about getting onto the next meeting and then the town council meeting. And I'm not sure that we need, is there a reason, I guess, that it was 15 days after that the zoning administrator should have that long?
Well, again, you know, there are plenty of communities that have full-time professional staffs that give themselves 30 days. Mm. And the reason is to get the conditions right. The zoning administrator is going to be responsible normally for trying to get the conditions that you all adopted into language and order. But it seems to me that that's usually going to involve talking to the recording secretary who made the minutes and listening to the recording possibly, and potentially contacting a commission member who made a motion or the chair of the commission. I sometimes think that where you're so heavily reliant on part-time and volunteer efforts, that it might be a good idea in a lot of cases for the chair to appoint one of the members of the commission as the follow-up person.
Yeah,
and just say, hey, you're the one who hooks up with the zoning administrator and the recording secretary, and you know, listens to the tape if need be. Not that we have tapes anymore, but make sure that the conditions are right. And so I get back again to my point. You know, a person who proposes a subdivision to you is proposing something that changes the legal landscape of Boulder forever. Right. You can take 15 days if you're making a change that lasts forever.
Yeah. Okay, other things that I had, something I was thinking about even when I was reading our current stuff about, what is it? The stuff from the town code about the different commissioners and stuff, something that I just thought of knowing that we have a seat open soon. It doesn't say anything specific, and I wonder if it should, if this is the rule, It doesn't say anything specific about the person needing to live within town limits. And I wonder, I feel like I've heard mixed things on this. Are we, maybe this is a question for Peg, are we, when we should be recruiting someone for these positions, is it that preference is given to people that live in town, or can, or that, like, can we be recruiting people in the Draw or Salt Gulch at all? Or is that off the table? I've heard no, and I've heard just that preference. There was a pegboard once or something that said preference is given to people who live in town.
Peg, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to me.
Whoops, you just muted. Yep.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I don't believe there's anything in the ordinance that specifies either the Planning Commission or Board of Adjustment need to be members of the community, I mean, of Boulder Town, residents of Boulder Town. It's been a tradition that the town council doesn't want to approve or appoint anyone who doesn't live within the town boundaries, but it's not a requirement by our ordinances.
Good to know, thanks.
Anything else on your list, Elena?
Not for now, thank you.
Yep. Colleen or John?
I'm fine.
Okay, well,
I don't have any comments, thank you.
Thanks.
Lee, I'd like to thank you for a great effort on this. We've had some, I was realizing how many emails we've exchanged in the last month of this. You've really helped refine my thinking on it. I have collected a whole bunch of Planning Commission bylaws, including Traverse City, Michigan, who you say have an excellent set, and have read those. And that's helped my thinking too. So I think we'll continue this process, but I really do like the idea of using them and adopting them and using them as informal guidance for some length of time, so we kind of debug them and become comfortable with what we're setting as policy, because I'm sure it'll need some tweaks. But thank you for getting us this far.
Sure.
Hey, Lee, so I think that's the go-ahead for setting it for our upcoming business for our December agenda.
I will get you
the timing works for you.
Yeah, it does. This is the things we've discussed are easy to change and draft, and I'll get another draft out to you shortly, probably shortly after I get back from Boulder, maybe before. I'll have a lot of time on the plane. So there's that. The final thing that I was slated to talk about is, moving forward with the subdivision changes. And in many ways, that's what the Housing Steps memo that we're going to talk about next Wednesday is here are the, in big picture, here are the changes. What I think that's been really good that's being done is putting together this information sheet for the Housing Forum that goes into the goals and the plan. That's a good work that's happening. And I want us to get into whatever discussion we have with a strong sense of what we're trying to accomplish. And we all talk constantly in vague terms about affordable or attainable housing, and we all talk almost as constantly and in almost as vague a terms about protecting open space. And to make the changes in the subdivision regulations that I think need to be made, we're going to have to go from vague to pretty darn specific. You know, it's nice to have vague goals, and as they're written in the general plan, they should retain some flexibility, as they do. There's not much wrong with the general plan and what it says. We might add some things as a consequence of our conversations, but the starting point is there, doesn't have to be redone. And so I think my word to you all right now is to kind of do a gut check on the goals, because pretty much anything that we decide we should do specifically is going to raise questions possibly, you know, attract some opposition. The Planning Commission is going to have to be committed to the goals in order to go on through the process. Writing up the checklist, the performance checklist for these subdivisions, isn't that hard once you give me clear direction. And the clear direction is on the goals. And a week from yesterday, we'll get together in Boulder and go through that housing steps memo. And that I do intend to go through one step at a time. And just say, okay, is this, what do we think? Could this work for Boulder or not? I feel like what's proposed there is pretty practical. That doesn't mean that it's perfect. That doesn't mean there couldn't be a better formulation of it, but I think that it's a practical, doable starting place that would change the dynamic of how residential development goes in Boulder and change it in a way that does a lot for the resiliency and diversity of the community. The thing about it, and I, as you read that memo, I just want to say, although I said it in the memo, this is a menu, right? You can choose. You do not have to accept everything that I recommended exactly the way I recommended it. You can say, hey, I like this and I don't like this other part as much. And we talk about that and figure out where we are at. And the final thing I'll say, since I think we'll really get into the nitty gritty on Wednesday next week, development doesn't matter whether it's residential or commercial or industrial or whatever, but any type of land development is going to go down better if the landowners perceive that they have some flexibility. And I will just foreshadow our discussions next week by talking about the idea of average density. I gave you some illustrations. Right now, there's only one way to split a 10-acre lot in half. That's down the middle, right? You can do a transverse section, you can do a cross section, but you're splitting it down the middle. And the landscape doesn't work that way. The irrigated portion of a lot is going to lap over those lines in many cases, the slopes. If there's a portion of Boulder Creek or another drainage that goes through there, none of those things follow the cadastral survey lines, except by sheer luck and accident. And I think that it turns out in almost every case to be in both the landowners and the community's interest to have some flexibility in how lots are created. And I don't know that we even need to pursue that this evening, since we're going to be devoting a fair amount of time to it next Wednesday. But that's what I have to say for tonight. And if there's any questions or thoughts, now's the time.
Thank you. Do you need anything for us to prepare for next week other than us having reviewed the document specifically and coming with our specifics on that?
Well, like I said, I think the Planning Commission members have to kind of do a gut check and not just read this, but say, okay, am I committed enough to these ideas to endure a little bit of friction? There may not be any friction. It's not for me to predict one way or the other, but often there is. And we know from past proposed developments and such that there's been friction about that, right? That's history. My thought is that in general, people should be happy to agree about providing some flexibility, meeting community goals, and providing some permanent protection of open space and some perpetually affordable or attainable housing. But the fact that that all sounds good to me doesn't mean it sounds good to everybody, right?
Right.
And so I think the members of the commission need to be able to go into that conversation with not only their questions about what they've read, but about with a sense of, hey, I'm willing to push this forward a little bit. I'm not sure which one of you said it. Maybe it was Colleen. At one of our past meetings, I think it was in the fall, you know, that we've been coming back to these same issues for years. If you go read what the Housing Working Group did in 2018, it doesn't go into every one of these options that I've given you, but it's there, right, in the ballpark. And 2018 was now a while ago. So people have, the issue's been out there. The issue's been formulated in approximately the same way for all these years. And the number of subdivision proposals and the sense of change seems to me to be accelerating. And it doesn't have to accelerate very much before you're behind it. And you don't want to be behind it. So now is the time to have this conversation. And if you are willing, and it's up to you, not up to me, if you're willing to push ahead, then we do so and see what happens. We can make it relatively straightforward. We can make it so that it's pretty friendly to a landowner who is clear about his or her goals. We can make it so that it meets some of the community's goals, but we can't do any of that without the willpower. So okay. I'm hoping that we have a good conversation about these specifics on Wednesday, and I could leave that conversation with direction to write it up and say, show us the exact language it would take to change the ordinances in these particular ways.
Great. Thank you. Any last comments from the commission or questions for Lee before we move on to the next chapter?
Lee, in your mind, are you thinking of those goals that we should be thinking about as affordability, open space, or are you asking us to consider what the goals are?
Those are the big ones that we always talk about. I want to, you know, say that you don't have the ability to reach those goals unless you have a good procedural reality. And that's what we've talked about a lot tonight, right? You guys started that way with, okay, how many days do we need to actually get this right? And so, you know, another goal is let's have procedures that are realistic for Boulder and for the way that Boulder does business, given its constraints. So there's that. And I also think that it is good to say, hey, we understand that different landowners have different goals. And while the town has some things that it has to have happen and some things that it desires to have happen, we also want to consider what the landowner is trying to achieve. And right now, you know, whether you like the straitjacket you're in as a landowner or not, you're in a straitjacket. There's only one way to do things. And I'm not sure that that's the right message to give the landowners of the community, is that there's only one way to do things. So I think that we continue to say, let's talk about attainable housing. Let's talk about the permanent protection of the open space that really makes Boulder such a cool place to be. But let's also talk about good procedures and talk about how we achieve everybody's goals. And that then leads you to talking about flexibility, which is, you know, that's the theme for next Wednesday.
Great. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate sure. it.
Lee, thanks. Also, one thing I will mention, you know, you talked about gut check. It's important, it's very important for the Planning Commission, but our only role is to make recommendations to the town council. Mm-hmm. So we need to really make sure that they are on board with us every step of the way, be sensitive to the concerns that the town council has. Otherwise, it'll be... We may come up with the best document in the world with Lee's help and not have it go anywhere if we haven't been doing our homework to make sure that the town council is part of our team. And I will mention here, something I'm going to be trying to emphasize as we talk about the housing presentation, is that although this these issues, we are the Boulder Town Planning Commission, but many of these issues really do spill over into the Draw, Black Boulder Mesa, Salt Gulch, and that we need to also be working with the, in many cases, with the county to achieve the broader vision, because we certainly don't want to have exclude the people who live outside the town limits from contributing to solutions to these problems.
Yeah, agreed. Thanks, John. Okay. Thank you, Lee. We'll see you on Wednesday, sounds like.
Yep. I'm going to take my leave now, and I will see you guys soon.
All right. Much appreciated. Okay. Is everyone good to keep going? Or do you need a break?
I'm fine. I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Okay. All right. So we're going to then now switch over to the sort of finalizing the attainable housing presentation conference. So I'll turn it over to Tina and great information thing, by the way, Tina and John in this.
Okay, well, I think Peg's brought up, I put together some ideas, which I want feedback on, to, both detail wordsmithing as well as just the overall content. So what I envisioned for the meeting was that we will start with an open house format. I don't know if we've got volunteers for cookies yet or not. We can maybe recruit someone tonight. With an informal open house format from 6 to 7, then the sitting down in chairs and listening to speakers at 7 p.m. But what I've got here is the first 11 slides here are what I was going to propose is having a scrolling presentation going during the open house, since we don't have a lot of big sheets on the wall. So this is the first of the ones that we'd be displaying during the open house. And Meg, can you go to the next one? So I'm proposing we have this on about a 15 seconds for each slide, which means that we'll scroll through about every 3 minutes. And these are mostly to provoke people to think, ask questions, get discussion started. So that, yeah, that, let's just continue here. I thought I turned off the, are we on manual, Peg? Yeah, there you go. So these are slides from the pictures from the community assessment, which was what, 2017?
I think so, yeah, or 15.
We get into some things from the housing work group as well. So really, so there's some general background information. I also took things from the Garfield County housing plan. Next slide here. If people want to discuss these in detail, this one I think is real important. And whether you're talking Garfield County or Michela's survey, the huge amount of vacant housing, how little is available for rent at local wages. Tom Hoyt's drawing.
Carol.
What?
Carol.
Caroline. Caroline, I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
Charlene. You talking about Charlene? No. Who? The person who drew those. Oh, okay. Sorry.
It looks good, John.
Okay, so I think we've got a couple more here, and then we'll go to some of the other documents. So I think that's the last of the slides that would be on the scrolling loop during the open house. Then let's see. I think the next is Tina's letter. Okay, so boy, that's hardly readable. This is Tina's handout.
So on the handout, I mean, a lot of the information is similar to what John has in the scrolling thing also, but it's just something for somebody to take home. And hopefully on the backside, it has, you know, information that's pertinent. I included the goals, general plan goals, and links to Charlene's organization. And of course, the Boulder Planning Commission. And So, and I that's possibly Dave Conine will have a site or something that we can refer to also. But I'm assuming they also have some kind of handouts or something that they will share somehow that note. Is that correct?
And if not, one thing I think I would like to ask is that Big get up the notice of the November 17th meeting on the website so you can start posting some of these documents as background information for the meeting. Sooner the better. So that's after this, if everyone's okay with it, we'll ask Big to get that set up on the Planning Commission website. So that's, so let's see, anything else in your handout, Tina?
Also, I really think it would be a more applicable to have Michaela's kind of survey for housing that she did in relation. I mean, just, you know, year is much closer to now. It was like 2000.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers. If you can get them, we'll roll them.
Yeah. Peg probably knows how to find those. I don't.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's why we're talking here. I think there's been so much work done by so many people, and we want to take advantage of it. So let's. Okay. So then, you know, we've been talking. We haven't talked a lot about next steps. So here's what I was going to propose as next steps. December to March, so we have basically 4 months during the winter, for community working groups on housing needs, housing providers, and community vision. And I have something on each of those work groups coming up. Aim for maybe next March, having another community forum where the work group conclusions are presented and to the broader community. November to March, working on a replacement for the current subdivision provisions, which is what Lee Nellis is going to kick off a week from yesterday. And I do want to acknowledge the ongoing small-scale initiatives that we're already getting affordable housing being created one and two at a time by people who are doing things, and just acknowledge that that's happening and being encouraging of it. So that's the next steps. So housing needs work group. So that would be a work group for people who are looking for housing and try to develop quantitative data on the types of affordable housing that we need. How many people need better housing? Are we looking at, is our need housing for single adults, couples, families with children? Is it a shortfall for year-round residents? And how much is for seasonal workers? What rent is affordable for various types of local workers, which depends on household structure, that a household with two working adults and a roommate can afford a lot more than one person, a single mother with two kids. So we have to understand, you know, a little bit about what are our targets for affordable rent. Getting into what Dave Conine is going to be talking about, how many people are interested in sweat equity type home construction programs. I know Neighborhood Works has what could be called the Crown Program. There's also USDA programs, and also how small home businesses and small agriculture can be integrated into affordable housing. So that's the topics for the housing needs work. Next slide. So then I would like to lead up a housing providers work group. And I've got a good idea of the people I need to invite to that, but we need to get landowners and potential rental property investors. They're the ones who should identify what are the barriers to creating affordable housing in Boulder. How can available resources address the gap between Boulder real estate prices and Boulder wages? Who might be willing to provide land for a project? What barriers to affordable housing are created by the current Boulder Town and Garfield County ordinances? What economic incentives are needed to encourage creating affordable housing in Boulder? And what philanthropy and grant programs are available to subsidize affordable housing? Because without subsidies, an investor is not going to be able to make the numbers work. So that group's good. We look, so one group's looking at defining the problem. This is a group looking at what's it going to take to start implementing a solution.
Yeah, John, I have a question for you on that slide. And I think you're attending to it, but I'm not sure how directly, but you know, given that statistic, what 46% houses being vacant in Garfield County. So are you also working on that housing providers work group to find out why people aren't renting their vacant houses?
We could certainly roll that in. You know, part of it, you know, it's definitely going to tie into things like ADUs. You know, until making an ADU in your rental unit is perfectly legal if it's an internal ADU. A year ago, it wasn't. So those are the types of barriers that exist. Yes, we can certainly roll into it.
Okay. I'd like to see that included in there because that's just a huge amount of housing sitting on the ground, unused, so to speak. That's already here, built, done with.
And related to it, I think something we always have to keep in mind is that in the process of creating more housing, we need to make sure that we're trying to create more affordable housing and not stuff that's being flipped to second homeowners. So that's sort of related, but this is really focusing on, okay, what would it take for somebody to say, I'm willing to sell a piece of land to Neighborhood Works to build an affordable housing project. Okay, next slide here. Okay, and then community.
Hey, John, yes. Can I make a quick comment?
Sure.
I think if we made the decision to change it from affordable housing to attainable housing, and I think we should just try to be consistent with that
language. Okay, got it. Thank you. Yeah. We'll do. Okay. Community vision work group. And this really should be open to everyone from every spectrum of the community. And that's to look at how to work toward the broad goals of the general plan. Like Lee said earlier, we've got some great goals in the general plan. Lots of work was put into developing that general plan. Now it's how do we work to actually make these things happen? So how does providing more housing interact with the goals of sustainable local agriculture and preserving open space? How can good architectural design be used to make affordable housing compatible with the character of the community? A big one is what's the ideal mix of full-time owner-occupied residences, investor and second homes, that's your 46% Matt, residential short-term rentals, which we have capped at 15%, and full-time worker-occupied rentals, which are scarce. So I think we need to look at that mix of the 100 or so houses we have in the community. Now, what's our mix of them, and where would we like to be in the future? And then how can irrigated land be kept in production? And how can preservation of open space benefit wildlife and recreation? So that's basically implementing, talking about more specific actions and ordinance changes and initiatives to start implementing those broad general plan goals. I think the next slide is just a sample sign-up sheet. Yeah. So that's sort of what I've got to bring to the meeting.
Well, is your idea that these work groups will meet once after the meeting or once a month after the, what's your thought on that?
I think each work group should probably have a contact person from the Planning Commission and maybe somebody from the community as the co-chairs.
And then it's up to them. Do they want to meet by Zoom, which I think like the housing providers, a lot of them are out of town. They don't have to meet by Zoom. And how often? And
that can be up to the group.
The group can decide.
Great.
So we're just thinking of the three. So when we talked before, December, we kind of figured was not a very working group. But I mean, obviously, we could get the people together to know that they're going to work. But January, February, March being the periods of time where, you know, basically real work, a group work would happen.
Yeah. I mean, December might be just getting between now and Christmas, deciding how often are we going to meet and what format and who wants to be involved. But I think those three groups really, I think, cover different aspects, but they're all complementary. And
so do you see them getting together? I mean, having then in March, having all the groups kind of sharing what they came up with?
Yeah, but that would be another community meet, the next scheduled community meeting.
Right.
Community information presentation for the work groups to bring to the community what they've come up with.
And I also, there's this component of coordinating or finding, like, I don't know, like what, say the housing group comes up with, or what the needs for the housing group compared to what the need or the needs of the landowners and, you know, the ideas of this more holistic view group. What did you call that?
Community vision.
Community vision group. I mean, where the commonality is, I think, you know, seems to be something that we need to encourage.
Yeah, I think very much so, that because all of the work groups are sort of looking at three aspects of the problem, the solutions have to address all three of them.
Right.
I think a lot of those are the kind of questions Charlene is saying that they would need to answer before they could even propose how to help us, is to know. But what's our needs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm finding, for example, that there's not a lot of demand for three-bedroom houses for a single occupant compared to housing for single people or a couple. But we need to get that kind of quantified. But then for the housing providers, the numbers here are incredibly tough. That Boulder Point, and you look at the Garfield County housing plan, they have some good statistics. Our wages are below state average, and our real estate prices are above state average.
Sure.
That's the challenge we're facing. And the question is, okay, well, how much of a subsidy and what kind of a subsidy, and where would the subsidy come from to actually make it possible for a housing provider to create something? That's going to be a major challenge. So,
well, I appreciate the framing for, you know, how you go into 2023, you know, I think part of it is adapting to the circumstances, and so I want to circle back to sort of our original discussion, which is there anything else that we need to talk about to finalize the attainable housing conference for Thursday? Because that's going to give us a lot of information, obviously, on how to proceed with what you just laid out, John.
I think John mentioned the fact that we just need to find somebody to make cookies.
Okay, cookies, right. And I also want to announce for the public that If you don't already know, although I think the announcement has gone out, that it's being held at the Boulder Elementary School. I want to thank Elizabeth for that as well, because that'll be the right venue and space for it. So,
can I just say on the, I believe that there will be at least a letter that can be read by the John Dodds, the school superintendent.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I
see.
I asked Elizabeth and she didn't reply.
We just had a conversation with him last night.
Okay, so that's great.
Okay, so I have one question. I just want to check with you. I personally think the order of speakers should be Charlene, David, Conine. I don't know which order. They're like the highlight, and then we'll go to statement, superintendent, town council, and county. Right? Is that what you have planned, more or less? And I'll introduce at 7.
Yeah, that's what we agreed on at the working meeting, is to switch that order.
And then if the council or
I see you, Peg.
Go ahead, Tina.
And then the commission needs to be okay with how, like, we need a timer, someone who is timing, you know, or having facilitating the meeting. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's.
Yeah, who will be on the ground there that can volunteer for time management?
I guess I can do that.
Okay, thank you, John.
Well, I might I'll get an assistant, because I'm going to try to MC it, if with your permission, in which case probably I need someone else who could say, John, if they're going over.
Okay.
I can manage you if you can manage the other people.
Okay, so all right.
Perfect, that sounds like good roles. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Peg
has a comment. Yeah.
Just for your information, Charlene emailed me today and said Jerry probably won't be in person. He'd be attending via Zoom. Just, I don't know if that, just calculate that into your timing and so forth.
Yeah, we got it. And Peg, can you handle getting reproduction of the handouts?
Or I can help you. I mean, okay. We'll do that. Okay, and so, is it everybody okay if I change the wording a little bit? Nobody's going to.
Sure.
No.
Like,
you've got the right
amount. Of the handout and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can also help you if you want a second set of eyes on it.
Okay, great.
I'm not sure that our copier is a color copier, just for your information. So keep that in mind.
What did you say, Peg?
I don't think our copier here in town is a color copier, so keep that in mind.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't planning on adding
color. Yeah, all the color stuff I think I'll just have on the PowerPoint or on the web.
Oh, okay. Tina, do we have the, I don't know if you want to get into these kind of logistics now or not, Matt. I was wondering if, Tina, you've circled the wagons with Betsy or whoever about chairs being available from the church.
Yes, I tried to, I was hoping she would contact me before tonight, but I haven't heard from her. So, but working on it. I don't think there's any problem with the church, but I will find out. Getting chairs.
Do we have someone who wants to be in charge of tech things at the school, setting up the Zoom and such?
We can work with Elizabeth.
Yeah, maybe we should both go in and have her show us stuff, and then there's two of us with eyes on it.
Should we plan to meet like at 5 at the school to start getting the setup, or do we even need
I think it's up to the church to decide when we're going to do that. So Betsy hopefully will give me a time frame in which we have to do that. So
okay, but then
it might not be right before the meeting, it might be right after school or something.
Okay, well, I could come over and help. I'm just thinking we should make ourselves plenty of time to set up the tech stuff and make sure that's all working.
Yeah, I can be over there by 5:30 that day.
Okay.
One more thing, should we, for the work group, should we decide which planning commissioner is going to be in charge of each work group?
I was going to hope that you'd take the housing needs.
I would like to do the housing needs one.
And I will do the housing providers.
Okay.
So that's the other one. Is the holistic.
Yeah, well, you were involved with general plan and all that.
Right,
you,
right, right. I mean, yeah. Colleen and I'll work.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
do we have the, sorry. Is it okay to have Peg get this posted and start putting stuff on the website?
Sorry, was talking to April. What?
Are you in a position to get this stuff posted and start getting some of these documents posted on the website? Okay.
Yeah, I just started with general plan stuff already. I don't know if anyone's looked at the website yet. It's under Planning Commission, Local Events and Announcements. It's been up for a couple of weeks now.
Okay.
And I will get the presentation stuff. I'll put yours up right away, John. I still need to get Dave's and Charlene's when they have theirs available to send to me. So
he said they didn't want, I think Charlene said she didn't want her presentation posted, but that's up to her.
That's right.
Okay. We should get up the announcement. Since this will be a forum of the planning commission, we need to post it as a meeting as well.
Well, it's up there right now. It's on the web now.
Yes, okay.
So it's also posted as a meeting. So is posting on the planning commission different than the events? Or is it the same?
It looks the same. When I create the web posting, I just identify that it's going to be displayed on the planning commission page. And you also can run into the same exact thing on local events, and you can run into the same thing on announcements.
That's what I thought. Okay,
and
great.
There's really no way I found like on the homepage to highlight it in any way. So people just have to go to someplace, but it is there. And because of the fact we've have had two meetings. Let's see. It doesn't post it by the date of the meeting. It posts it by when I actually get it up. So right now it's buried under three planning commission meetings, tonight's, next week's, and you have to scroll down to actually see it on the planning commission page. But it's been there now for a couple of weeks.
That's so, why I didn't see it. Sorry.
Yeah. No one likes to scroll for some reason, but yeah, it's there.
I do. I see it.
Good publicity, Tessa, do you have anything to say about insider articles?
It was in the paper today.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Tessa.
Great job.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tessa. Okay, so is that it then for now?
Anything else on publicity we need to be doing? We'll probably do another pegboard announcement.
Okay.
We did a save the date, but now we've got we can do a little more detailed pegboard announcement.
Okay.
Yeah, do you want me, is that the one you wanted, Tina, the thing that you wrote? Is that what you want to go out on pegboard?
Yeah, I mean, the beginning needs to be changed. It's not like welcome to, but anyway. Yeah, I think it basically can be everything that's at least on that.
Okay. You and I can talk on the way home because when April was in here, missed a lot of your conversation. So let me know, but.
And did we get a poster on the town bulletin board? I haven't looked.
No, I better get that on.
Okay.
Get
that. All right. Thank you, Tina. Any other suggestions?
Thanks, everybody.
Think I'm done.
Matt, you're sort of cutting out, Matt.
Yeah, I got a connection unstable. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, everybody, for all the work being put into that. And we are going to move to open the floor for public comments before we establish our upcoming business for our December meeting. So if you are in the public, now's the time you can state your name and give your thoughts, comments, questions for the record.
I don't see any hands up yet on Zoom. Anyone in the room?
Not yet.
Okay, 10 second count. Well, I don't know what's scarier, when no one has any comments or when everyone does.
I do have one question here for the public, I guess.
Okay. This is Dave Conine.
No, it's John.
John.
Yeah, oh. Dave Conine was going to speak, but Lee had suggested that we take public comments earlier in the meeting rather than at the end. And I'm just kind of interested in feedback from the public whether they see merit in that or not.
At the beginning instead of.
Yeah. And John, I don't know if I want to tackle that now. What I think it's, as chair, I'm going to keep final public comments through the end of the year. And then if you guys want to assess and try it a different way in 2023, that's great. But I think that's something that we can discuss next week when we discuss the bylaws too.
Sure. Yeah, I was just kind of inviting people in the audience to comment if they had feelings. I see Dave Conine's got his hand up.
Hello.
I see you, Dave. Go ahead.
Okay. I couldn't find my hand there for a while. Terrible when you lose your hands. Interesting meeting. I'm looking forward to this. I have put together a presentation where I get into the USDA programs, and then a fairly lengthy thing on some of the design considerations. And I'm not sure that that everybody's going to want to endure that, but it'll be there for people that want to see it. I am also going to be picking up some flyers from the USDA Rural Development, and I checked today and they do have the ones I want. So I will bring a supply of those, and I'm looking forward to this. I've had a hard time working on it because I've had so many other things popping up all the time that I seem to get 20-minute sessions on this project spread out over weeks. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to it, and I've really appreciated the comments I've heard this evening. It sounds like this group is really moving in a very positive way, and I thank you all.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other final comments from the public? It's your last chance.
Don't see any.
All right, then. So let's move on to our final agenda item, which is upcoming business for our December 8th meeting. So let's see, Peg, to start with, we will be having the bylaws, I don't know what to call it, adopting discussion and vote, or how to proceed with that.
Right. Lee's going to send an updated draft for that meeting for December that you will review beforehand and then discuss and hopefully adopt to revisit back in June. Is that part of?
Yeah.
All right. Bylaws.
Okay. Number two, I think, and I'm throwing this to the commission too, is we're going to have a review of our attainable housing meeting. How did that go? And then moving into, John, what you started on looking at today on what are the next steps and start strategizing forward with that into the future.
And we're going to have, Ray has submitted an application for his amended CUP for RV park. He got that in a couple of days ago. That was what April was coming here to look for just now.
Okay.
So that will certainly be on the agenda for December.
Okay. And is there anything else that's potentially going through April that'll be on the table that we know anything about?
No, there's nothing.
Okay. Any other items, commissioners, that you would like to have attended at that meeting? All right. Okay, then I think that's it. So I think that covers everything. I'm going to make a motion to close our meeting.
I'll second that, Elena.
Okay, all in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
John Grant, aye.
Great. Thank you, everybody, commissioners and public, for your comments and your time and your work. See you next week.
Yeah. Right. Oh, sorry. I'll get something on the board right away.
No problem.